There can be no reason under any circumstances that we can accept as being a genuine reason made by anybody, including Pope, to make a call that police members must join any strike in this country today, yesterday, tomorrow, and any time in the life of this country. There cannot be any acceptable reason from, I think, the Popular Committee, but I think from all of us as individuals. And if it was possible, I think this is one thing which, as people of South Africa, we should condemn, because indeed it does deserve to be condemned. There cannot be any excuse, for whatever reason, genuine or not genuine, for any union or any person to make a call that such members must join any. They are here to protect the citizens of this country during or after or before any strike, legal or not. And I think maybe you should not be entertained by anybody. I think you should be condemned, because it's really for them to be condemned. And this, I think, you are condemning it. We will allow the members, or in fact the secretariat, to take us through the list that we gave them yesterday to prepare for this meeting, and from there we'll start to see the sacrifice. Okay, so I'm going to
What has happened is the National Advisors and ourselves have let them work together on the changes. What we've given you today, this is the ALIS, which is the formal list which we require to present to the Portfolio Committee in terms of any amendments. But what we've also done, because of the problems that people were having during the ICD deliberations of practically following what the sentence now looks like and what the changes, we basically done the bill with the changes in it. This is an informal document to assist the Portfolio Committee in being able to now look at what does that change mean and what does the whole thing look like. So it's not just this is really an informal document to assist. The formal document is the aim. From yesterday we didn't deal with on the old book, pages 3 and 4, on the official book, pages 3 and 4. We only started with applications of the acquisition, so we will come back to those chapters and those definitions after we've done the whole act, because we may need to then insert, etc. So I'm going to take you through from where it says the application of the act, which is we rejected clause 2 and we replaced it with what you can see on the informal document that we have submitted to you on page 4, application of the act. We've replaced it with the following. The provisions of this act apply to all organs of state concerned with matters relating to police service. So we've limited it to state organs related to police service. And then we added in a clause 2, such organs of state concentrated in subsection 1 must accord such assistance as may be reasonably required to ensure the effective functioning. It should be of the Secretariat. We put it should be the Secretariat in terms of the tax. So not the service, it should be Secretariat. Okay, so it's correct on the ALIS, it's just the error on the informal document. Then if you go to the next clause, basically we have inserted the object of the act, which was something that the Portfolio Committee requested us to do. So we have kind of summarised those objects, so they're not exactly the same as what was at the end of the act, because we thought that was quite a clumsy. So if I can take you through the objects, to give effect to 208 of the Constitution by establishing the Secretariat to function under the direction of the Minister, to provide civilian oversight of the police service, to provide for the functioning and powers of the Secretariat, to provide for the establishment, composition, and functioning of the Ministerial Executive Commission Committee as required in Section 206 of the Constitution, to provide for the establishment, composition, and functioning of the Senior Management Forum, to provide for cooperation with the independent police investigative director, and to provide for intervention by the Secretariat into the affairs of the Provincial Secretary. We didn't repeat what is in the object of the because this is broadly providing for the overall objective, but that's what the Act does, and then that role comes up in the object of the Secretary.
Thank you very much, Professor. We definitely interested to see just where each one is this object is covered. Then on page 2 of the informal document, which is page 5,
the only amendment is a sequential change to the numbering section clause 3 becomes clause 5.4. On the objects of the Secretariat, there's a number change because of the addition of a new clause, but we've also added in the clause under H, which speaks to the CPS. And this is the wording that we've developed, that we do also to do with the wording. To provide guidance to community policing forum and associated structures.
Very carefully and regarding the financial implications of our past. And we suggest that we have to take the matters of the minister, also for consideration thereof, and to take the financial implications of the department regarding the business entity. We are mindful that the government is empowered to enact the legislation and to the community situation. But we also ask that the business be given the opportunity to
I have no problems with the Madam Chair, with the HR advisors and everybody consulting, I think also they must have motivated this matter extensively. And in fact, one of the keys is what this clause of agency does. If this clause is not here, then we are in the same situation we were previous. So I would have preferred a situation where they have included what you said you must do, and then tell us that you want to go into some part of the ministry. But we debated, we were also here. Now, when we are expecting to have included what you now do, I have no problem with it, but I think it was should have been very better if you have included what you said you must include. And then, of course, when you present it, we think that you must also consult the minister. I mean, consultation, we're not going to finalize the thing in 3 days, but I think it's better you include what you said you must include. You need a good person.
I think
it's
but we are processing the films yet, and they have a hope we could last to see what we have processed at last. And I think I'm accompanying on this one. And as such, we might actually request that we do it once a conversation with the minister. And if there must be some reason for us changing anything, we'll have to be made aware of this and actually discuss it with the case. But otherwise, for now, the portfolio committee with the community for us, we are suggesting that and expect to see these changes in and that is what we're talking about. So, I acknowledge.
Again, in terms of the object of that, there's a change to pass, but we've also added in which we we had a problem with the wording of the report, and if we sorry to the community to join. Provide guidance to community seeking for an associated structure and facilitate their proper function. Then if we move to what is now called 6, the potential change is from 5 to 6. And if we look at what's called 1A, monitor the performance of the fee service and regularly assess the extent to which the fee service has adequate policies and effective systems in place to and to recommend corrective measures. Monitor the utilization of the budget of the fee service and ensure compliance with any policy directives or instructions of the minister. So we remove the Public Finance Management Act and Treasury regulation. B, monitor and evaluate compliance with the Domestic Violence Act, and then it gets the Act. And if you remember, yesterday we said we want to look at adding to that. We've looked at it and those additions could be made in regulation, but there is a need to add the vague recommendations to the fee service on disability procedures and measures, and it should be for non-compliant with the domestic violence. And if you turn over...
Just for clarity, Madam Chair, when you say you go to make recommendations to the fee service,
I think this one talks to the Domestic Violence Act itself because we amended it. This was the responsibility of the IP in the Act itself. It's not just something which they have to do, but the Act says they must approved and we are amending, and that is why on this one we are specific, because that is what the head said. And we are amending the statement because the head said we now is working in the secretariat.
Someone like that who's arrested and can't really
I just want to draw the portfolio committee's attention to when we developed our AGPs, and certainly when we have to present our 5-year strategic plan, we spoke about station visits, which would include looking at ours and the importance of doing those station visits. It's one of the reasons why we also want to draw on the capacity of the provinces and direct some of those station visits. And I'm not 100%, I must be honest, I'm not 100% sure whether that is protected in the education, but they are, but if it isn't something which tax is addressing in their standing orders or whatever, and we come across it as a problem, we would have to also make recommendations. But maybe the state law advisors could also comment on the legislation side. But if there was something that was a gap in legislation, but which was a problem in itself, we would have to look at it in terms of tax standing orders and their approaches to how they deal with people. We want to add in something about the community people fund and the book to facilitate proactive, we needed to change the word active. So we changed it to facilitate proactive and intervention of community based models of engagement.
We need to be aware of the policy. I don't want to
1.51. Roman 5B1, coordinate efforts to deal with challenges faced by the police service. So we're removing the word blockages. So we're just saying coordinate efforts to deal with challenges faced by the police service. The blockages need to be done by that. We will be looking at the actual border challenges. Roman 5B11. Develop framework strategies and plans to ensure uniformity, accountability, and enhancement for community policing forums and associated structures, and we've added in the word analysis.
I'm not sure whether this is, you know, the whether I'm a or not. And that's because now it's quite easy coordinate, it's not that one. It's a lot of framework strategies and to ensure you some of the things that you see, I think there are probably some things that are going to be very good. It's going to be something for the establishment of things. Is it going to be the first time or the police? If you see it for the first time, do they have the capacity and the resources? Because I looked at the number, the number is huge. And looking at the practices they have now, they have prevention, that is, the money they have is only used to do service for community service. So that's why I'm saying I'm not part about anything, but I'm saying the way you move to put in where community to develop. We gradually move to what we're trying to avoid, that they must have something for community police. I'm saying if they want to, if they want that, they've got the capacity and they will have the resources to do that, they're fine. And that's why.
I and a plan to ensure uniformity so that we are sure that what is happening here is the Western Cape happens and so happens in the state. This is, I think, what we're saying. But the actual establishment, this does not talk about the
people. No, no. I actually wanted to say exactly the same thing. It's actually talking about developing a policy around how they should look, how they should operate, how you account for their profession. I think if I read it correctly. And then obviously work that goes monitoring that it actually happens. But I really don't believe it as establishment. It's not, I think it's policy more than anything.
Chair,
yeah,
I want to agree with that.
That's right, the more we put to this facility, they
With the moving, even to fight. If you look at the way we changed it, not just the accident, but we changed the thinking so that we are developing the model, we participate in the development of the model rather than the actual engagement. And we just move the words around so that it's very clear that it's not our own ground and set up other community models, but we have even developed the type of model that we want.
Then we know it can be a very specific issue that the minister's got a problem with, and everyone the implementation thereof.
Generally report to the minister and he then instructs us to get more details on that challenge. So even if it's on the music up, we would include we generally don't do those sorts of things about the music. So putting it as education has no problem. If you move on to chapter 3 at the bottom of the page, that 7 is just a number change. Clause 8 under uses and functions. So there was another, if you go down to clause B, E, and F, and the first one is on the informal document. We took this from the ICD Act, and then we added in the deployment team and the use of deployment. The appointment of such staff as may be necessary to enable the secretariat to perform the functions of service this Act. Establishment of staff components in accordance with the Public Service Act. And deployment of personnel in accordance with the Public Service Act. So we cannot abuse the deployment issue, but we wanted it to reflect clearly what we have put in the ICD document. Maybe in confidence of the service. Now, I'm imagining that
Bank of Glory, which can't be done on that one. I can't tell you why they're leaving. Is there some supporting evidence for their plan?
Is that
it?
They only use the class of DG. It doesn't even apply now to DG. The ministers are now entitled to their own DG, and at the level of a DG, it goes to the minister. It has to be confirmed by cabinet, but that's the minister appoints, and now the minister is even appointed DG. Then if we go down to subsection 2E, we just added an and, because we added in the initial clause, so we just moved the and then clause if any other function assigned to this entity as the service out of the system. Under the powers, the number change obviously at the top of it, and then under clause D, we changed it to assistance, obtaining the assistance of any state department country or institution to perform any act or function within the competence of the system. So we just changed the word to assistance as to the effect of our new policy. Yeah, but it's qualified by the word competency. So we can't. It should be as it is in the document that you've adapted to the competency. In formal documents. Obtaining assistance of any state, department, country, or institution to perform any specific act or function within the competency of the state. Under the next clause, we changed the heading to delegations of powers and assignments of duties, so that it covers both. And the action name, the clause name is the same, except that the change to the number of people. Under clause 11, removal of office, we took out the removal as requested by the portfolio committee. So we took up in consultation with the presidency and said that, and we took out the word lost confidence. So the minister may remove the secretary of office on account of, so it reflects exactly what we had put into the IPU Act.
Okay,
thank you. On the next clause, we basically aligned the vacancy with what we had said in the IPU Act. In fact, it's exactly the same wording as the IPU Act. Under reporting, we added a clause, annual report, because there was the portfolio committee said that we hadn't specified enough exactly. So we took out the same clauses that were in the ICD Act around the annual report, and we modified those to fit the fixture. So the secretary must prepare and submit to the minister an annual report in the form prescribed by the minister within 5 months after the end of the financial year. The annual report referred to in subsection 1 must include the following: audits and financial statements prepared in terms of this Act, the auditor general's report prepared in terms of this Act, a detailed report on the activities of the secretary undertaken during the year to which the audit relates. The minister must table a parliamentary copy of the annual report, financial statements, and audit report on those statements within 1 month after receipt thereof, if Parliament is then in session. If Parliament is not in session within 1 month after the commencement of the next session, the Secretary must publish the annual report and financial statements and the audit report on those statements.
Thank you.
support the constitution of the Convention for Security, if it stands in any number changes. And the function of the Convention for Security, we haven't made any changes on the appointment. We added in the section that was requested that the head of the Convention for Security must not be a member or former member of the Peace Service or the Republic. Yesterday, we put this in the request of the portfolio committee, but we didn't have it yet. And we have one person in passing of the unit to do the form of it. But because at the request of the portfolio committee, we thought it wasn't going to be the same.
Madam Chair, I don't know where we put this, but probably in the transition arrangement. We did say, primarily because we know already that there's somebody, we must be able to say, so that when this act is passed, housing must not be forced to the movement, but find a way where we give time, or if say, for instance, that there's a new contract, be aware that when the contract ends, that must move. If there is no contract, probably say within a particular period, that situation must be rectified or regularized. But I'm saying that I don't believe we must put in the act, but I think when the transition is arranged, we need to put that.
I think that
must ensure the implementation by SAP of national peace and policy directives issued or made by the Minister on monitoring. So it's clear that they're not doing the implementation, they're doing the monitoring thereof in the province. And reports are submitted to the head of the provincial department, the NEC, and the must evaluate and review practices, methodologies, and performance of that service in the province, submitting reports thereon to the head of the provincial department, the NEC, and to the province of the
To be good beyond monetary. You must see, if you say, ensure that this thing happens, it means they are given instructions. So, and I thought our understanding is that they are doing monetary, that the policies, police service, national policies act. So, but can I be explained? Because I'm saying also that the paper education, I got primary education very late. And you know, some of the previous studies were finding the relationship. And that's a difference between cape division and binding division. I missed your answer.
Yeah, I think sorry, we will then amend that to say must ensure the monitor, because this is what the conventional head must do, they must ensure that they're top. So it would be must ensure the monitoring of the implementation and then to take up the loss.
Okay, then what?
Yeah, I think that we report directly to the minister, so we take that to the minister. And when we take that to the minister, we don't just take the problem, we take the recommendation on what needs to be done to resolve that problem. We cannot issue instructions on that, we also not investigate going forward, but so we cannot actually institute certain criminal procedures, etc. We take those recommendations to the minister as the person we report to. And as the person responsible for non-implementation, ultimately, but we take it to the recommendation of what we think creates the measure. And ultimately, he is politically accountable for how that is performed.
Chair, while we currently have someone here, in this position, you know more, 5 years, 10 years, whatever down the line, the next person will simply be, okay, I'm a student X, Y, and Z, and there's nothing that says at any stage that any cause for concern, like immediately or within a certain time frame, be presented to the minister. You understand that?
I think that the point you raised, I think that is something that must have tripped up when you did the title change, that the MEC may review, may in consultation with the minister remove the head of the provincial secretary on account of, and we think exactly the same as for the secretary and for the ICD, and I think we just look out that in the end of the minister just the title of the title. And the vacancy, we align back with what was said under the vacancy for the secretary, but as agreed at the portfolio committee, we have given it 6 months as opposed to a year.
Thank you.
again. So we need to now go back to the actual official law that was supposed to be in Parliament. And Chapter 5 deals with the Office of Faith framework. Part 1 deals with the heads of the provincial department. And when we, I just wanted to clarify that when we talk about the provincial department, we're talking about the head of that. It's not, there's a difference between the head of the department and the provincial secretary. The head of the department is essentially the council officer for that NEC portfolio. And the secretary and heads of provincial departments must meet at least on a quarterly basis to ensure alignment between the provincial secretary and the secretary and the secretary of their respective annual strategies, performance plans, priorities, and objectives. To identify any other matters of a strategic importance within each province, to discuss performance of the service by the two services in the province in order to detect failures and initiate preventive or corrective action where necessary. In light of what we discussed in the episode, we're suggesting that clause D be removed because we don't need to talk about national management issues because it's covered under A. And to ensure regular reporting on matters specific to the performance of the two services in the province, to prepare for meetings of the Ministerial Investment Committee, the relevant cabinet clusters, committee, or any other forum. The secretary convenes, determines the agenda for, and provides at the meeting, referred to subsection 1, and his or her office is responsible for providing administrative and other support services for these meetings.
Thank you.
encourage this to be a management story. This is a management operation meeting that will take place between the secretary, the civilian secretary and the province. The provincial secretary, so essentially refers to the head of department for training 1 and 22, refers to our operational engagement with the provincial head of secretary. So 21 is hereby the establishment of the forum, is hereby established a forum to be known as the senior management forum. Composition and functions of the forum. The forum established in terms of section 1 consists of the secretary, who is the chairperson of the forum, the head of the provincial secretary, senior management staff, and you would obviously add a civilian secretary, senior management staff from each provincial secretary. The forum meets at least bi-monthly to report on the activities of the provincial secretaries in each province and to facilitate interaction and cooperation amongst the provincial secretaries. The office of the secretaries is responsible for providing administrative, and obviously that would be the office of the civilian secretary, is responsible for providing administrative and other support services. And we may also want to add a clause about the invitation to what we've done in the secretary's office.
The facilitating the action and cooperation amongst provincial secretaries and the national secretaries. Well, I mean, it's more going to be that than it's going to be in the teams of rock.
Would be the head of monitoring and the head of partnership, because they only have 2 units under this. And we would want them there because there may be issues that arise. I think we may want to have a briefing done by somebody, so I think we need to still have an invitation to it. Doing a video conference with the public, not mean that people always have to fly up to Victoria, that you may be able to do some of these meetings on video conferences and that kind of thing. So I know it was one of the issues that the very kind of conference that they kind of think that the other support is going to be doing.
Yeah.
Part two deals with intervention by the secretary, and it is in line with the basis on which national can interfere with provincial in other departments. But it allows the secretary benefit to your community is to be able to participate if they don't meet the obligation. The section 21, notwithstanding the provisions of this chapter, the Secretary may, on the instruction of the Minister, intervene in the affairs of the province under the following circumstances. A, that's what it means, it's not said there, but A, when the provincial secretary is unable to perform its functions effectively, or B, when the provincial secretary cannot fulfill its obligations in terms of the Act. So that will cover where the province needs to establish a secretary or whatever, and take appropriate steps to ensure proper fulfillment of its functions in terms of this Act. Two, the secretary may only intervene in the affairs of the province of the secretary after the minister approves an intervention contemplated in subsection 1. Subject to paragraph 4, the intervention contemplated in this subsection may not extend for a period longer than 90 days at a time. The secretary must, while the intervention continues, report regularly to the minister and make appropriate recommendations should the intervention continue for a period longer than 90 days. The minister may instruct you to intervene in the province. You then would need to take your plan to the minister of how you're going to proceed. I mean, it might just be the way we word it, the second section, so that the minister doesn't say we need you to intervene in the province if, and you then go and intervene, but your intervention, the plan of how you're going to intervene would need to be agreed to by the minister. I think that's what it's supposed to be, but it might be the way we word it, it's confusing, we might need to reword that second section. So we don't exceed what his intention was in terms of that intervention. Thank you. to investigate weapons that weapons in conversation or whatever, and we don't have to be able to do that sort of thing. I don't think it's the fears of the public, it's actually to fulfill a function to protect their relationships. And I don't think that if you can ask them to do that, but you have to, because it is international competency, and we can pay for it. That's what we need. I think we need to look at the word in that completely.
And that way, I mean, basically a province is the purview of the provincial secretariat, but if it's of such a sensitive nature, he may send the secretary, and that would then cover it, I think.
I'm not sure that it will cover it. Because it's not only, here we're not talking necessarily about the affairs of the provincial secretariat. We're talking about the police affairs in a specific province. In other words, what we're basically saying here, if I hear the secretary correctly and if I read this, is that we're trying to address the fact that even though the national secretariat, the civilian secretariat, is based at a national and therefore one tends to relate them to head office operations, is that they can actually also go to provinces to conduct research. And if I say research, I talk about investigative research as well within provincial police structures. I think that's what we're saying here. Am I correct? So I don't think it's going to... I think 23 is addressing the secretariats, the provincial secretariats. 24, Chair, if I read it correctly, and I think they need to reword it. I don't think we need to spend time on it, but they need to reword it because it's talking about the right of the civilian secretariat to go down to provinces, local police stations, whatever, in terms of issues that minister wants them to look at. It's broader than just the...
Chair, adding on to that, would the secretariat actually need the minister's permission to go and do research in provinces and what? Surely that's what they do. I'm not sure. I mean, is that do we actually want to burden them with having to go to the minister for permission to go and do work in the provinces that's actually part of their mandate? I'm not actually sure. We're not over legislating.
I think they definitely need to reword this. The minister may instruct the civilian secretary to intervene in the affairs of a province if so required, depending on what else you add to the, you know. But I the minister, it will be part of your work, but the minister too can, from his office, instruct you to do that. If he so feels, I think that's what it is trying to cover and to say. Yes, but you can add whatever that will take into cognizance all these issues that we're raising. Okay.
Then the Ministerial Executive Committee, and I think we explained when we introduced the legislation that we required to establish a legislation for a Ministerial Executive Committee. And it's appropriate that be in the Secretariat rather than the SATS Act, but also that there will be a relationship between this committee and how this whole bill is going to take shape, because they will discuss problems around the provinces. So Clause 25 deals with the establishment of the Ministerial Executive Committee. There is hereby established a committee to be known as the Ministerial Executive Committee as contemplated in Section 206(8) of the Constitution. And that's where it says that there must be national legislation. Composition of the committee. The committee consists of the minister, who is the chairperson of the committee, the MEC from each province, any other member the minister may consider necessary. So generally the minister would invite somebody like the national commissioner to come and hear what the provinces are saying and to be part of it, so it allows them to do that. Functioning of the committee. The functions of the committee are to facilitate closer cooperation between the national and provincial spheres of government, to discuss matters of common interest or those emanating from reports of the Secretariat, to discuss any other policing matter relevant to the functioning of the MEC from each province. The Secretary or his or her office is responsible for providing administrative and other support services to the committee and liaising and consulting with heads of provincial departments to ensure provincial issues are part of the agenda of the committee.
Just a comment. This is further teeth. Because this is now taking the issues that the Secretariat, if you look at what it's saying here, discuss matters of common interest or those emanating from reports of the Secretariat, B, 27B. This is another place where your political, all 10 of them, the minister plus the 9 provincial MECs, will engage into these reports. And this is where policy and where instructions will flow from. So I think this is addressing Ms. Kulavana's previous point as well. That together with the reports, etc., I think is clearly indicating that.
Any other member the minister may consider necessary. Are we saying this will be part of the composition of this committee, or there will be there by invitation? Because right now,
it could be both. It could be both. I mean, generally, the minister expects both the secretary and the national commissioner to attend those meetings. That is the general practice. And so it's not a question of each MINMAC we get an invitation. The minister expects us to diarise the MINMACs for the year and to be present at those meetings. But there may be other people that he may invite into that meeting if he feels it's necessary to have the Minister of Justice come and explain something which the MECs are being asked to oversee in terms of their mandate or whatever. So I think it covers both. That would be my understanding. And if it doesn't, we need to look at that.
If the secretary is saying that it basically is expected of the secretary and the national commissioner to be there, should we not include it here in the makeup of the committee? That's all I'm asking. Or is it going to be difficult in terms of that MINMAC by definition is the ministers and the MECs? Is that the problem? Okay.
Considering all the other legislation that we've done, where we have determined that they must meet at least X times a year, and I see immediately shaking his head, is that not appropriate that we say must meet at least twice a year or whatever? Because we have done that elsewhere in most of the other legislation in relation to substantial bodies.
This is a meeting of politicians. I'm not sure we should determine it here in the legislature, because that could create problems. I mean, assuming, let's say there's no matter to be discussed, but if you have legislated, it means the minister must call a meeting and say, guys, according to law, we're supposed to meet, but I have nothing on the plate to discuss, so the meeting is closed, you can go.
Meeting of politicians
in
okay, let's proceed. Functions, yes, they are there. Maybe you want to, maybe you can go through.
Yeah, just to answer the last question, why we legislated is because we required to in terms of Section 208 of the Constitution. Meetings, the minister convenes and determines the agenda for meetings of the committee. Suggestions for inclusion in the agenda for the meeting may be submitted to the minister in terms of the framework to be determined by that minister. Part 5 deals with cooperation with regard to the ICD. The Secretariat must consider reports received from the Executive Director in terms of Section 10(1) of the Independent Police Complaints Directorate Act. The Secretariat must oversee the implementation of the recommendations made to the police service and provide the Minister with regular feedback on an ongoing basis on steps taken to ensure compliance thereof. The next Section 3, the Secretariat and Director meet on a regular basis, but not less than 4 times a year.
Before we raise the solvent issues, this needs to be aligned with what we've got in the IPED bill, and the Secretary should stop referring to the ICD.
Sorry. Yeah, the 10-1 is probably wrong.
Well, 29-2, the Secretariat must oversee. Monitor, oversee. Ms. Kola Banat, this is English.
Yeah, I would say monitor. You see,
to oversee means literally watching that everything is done and having some determination of it. I think monitor is a far better word. Yeah, thank you.
They need to, in any case, this whole section need to be written so that we, that's in line with what we said. Yeah.
But really, win alignment. We are in a meeting. But for the committee meeting, there are no wins. Honorable Jenny, I'm sorry.
Okay, Chapter 6, Miscellaneous, deals with the transitional provisions and the regulations. And I think given some of the changes, we may need to expand on these regulations like we've done with the ICD. But the Minister may, after consultation with the Secretary, make regulations regarding any matter in terms of the Act may or must be prescribed, any action in order to promote compliance with this Act, and any auxiliary or incidental matter that it is necessary to prescribe for the proper implementation or administration of this Act. Regulations with regard to the implementation of this Act must be submitted to the Minister by the Secretary within 3 months of the commencement of the Act.
Yeah, Chair, I really don't like a chapter called miscellaneous. It sounds just too tacky. Perhaps we could bring this section in line with the IFID bill. You know, it's done very neatly under regulations, transitional arrangements, repeal, etc., etc. Just do it exactly in the same format, I think, is a bit better. Otherwise.
See, it's not only me talking about cars. Do we want to see the regulations? Question I'm asking. I don't have a particular wish to see them, but I think it might be necessary in terms of the provincial things. It might be necessary that it comes back to Parliament just around those issues specifically. You might find I'm not saying it must, but I mean I can pretty much think that the NCOP might want to see it again. These are not issues as much as the IPED ones that are important for us, but in terms of provincial cooperation, it might be necessary that one have a look at it. I'm just suggesting. I mean,
no, Chair, I think I would agree with that. That perhaps it needs to be brought in here. That at very least, well, I don't know if we want to do ratification. Maybe we do.
Notification,
yeah. I don't think we want to do it. I mean, in the IPED bill, it talks about referring submitted to Parliament for scrutiny.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether that's the that wouldn't be the correct wording. I think it would really be for us to have a look at. But I think it would be important. So perhaps they could use some of the wording from the IPAC bill and just reword it for this bill.
I think so really this whole section, so much of it could be in line with the IPAC bill. The transitional arrangements, you know, from one department to the other, et cetera. There's a lot of it there that could really be, the wording is just perfect the way we went through it. So I think a lot of it could be lifted and put here. And it would, I think tying them together as much as possible and where possible makes a lot of sense.
Well, Madam Chair, honestly speaking, on the regulations of this, I wouldn't even be having the same approach we had on IPIT because it's completely different. But we have no problems if the minister sends a copy to us. But something like that. See, but you will not have the same approach like we had in IPIT because it's completely different. So that's why when Annelies asked, do we want to see them? I would have answered anyway. Those are those questions that are asked when I'm moving out. I don't care whether the person was asking his head my answer.
Some of our parties are actually in control of provinces.
So I'm saying, if they are being sent to us to see, and you must understand where there are serious limitations. We wish we are great on this piece. It's not like Chapter 5 is limited as to, I mean, even in terms of provinces.
No,
so I'm saying let's agree that they can be sent to us and we look at them, but not for scrutiny, not for any big thing. For noting.
No, I think we are accepting that because of those limitations. Because of those limitations, we might just want to see them.
Which brings me to another issue, and the Honourable George is now the reason that I'm asking this question. Do we... Because of those limitations, even I don't know where one and whether one can actually make provisions for it in the legislation or in the transitional arrangements or something like that, or whether it can be agreement between the portfolio committee and the secretariat. Although I would like to see it to be a more formal situation, is that the portfolio committee be updated, like twice a year or three times a year, until all provincial secretariats have been established. Because we are the politicians in the end that must also ensure that it happens in the provinces. And I really think that even if we can just put it in the transitional arrangements, that during the establishment period of the provincial secretariats, the national secretariat will report to the portfolio. That report doesn't have to be a formal meeting, but it can be in writing just saying this is the progress that we've made, etc. Because it will also be, there's some responsibility on us as politicians, I believe, in making sure that these secretariats are actually established at provincial level. It's the point that Mr. George raised yesterday as well, the fact that we only have two at the moment. So I don't know whether we can legislate for it. If not, then we need to just make some sort of agreement between ourselves and the national secretary.
I'm thinking about yesterday's discussion, particularly if we... Yesterday it was that we actually can expect that it can actually take up to about 2 years to... That's what Mr. Mdulik just said, to establish all these secretariat in provinces, and if it can be that long, and I don't know, we'll still be getting report anyway.
annual report. Should we get more report, we'll still be interacting with the secretariat for by budget and so on. Do we have to add more to that? I'm just asking, because surely when they come up here before the portfolio committee, they will definitely report on these things. When they come for annual report, they will still report on these things. Should we legislate that? That would be the issue. Honorable lecturer.
Yeah, it's up to the MEC to constitute a provincial secretariat for that province. It doesn't actually say anywhere that I see that there must be one in every province. Does it say in the earlier on here? But then who then would report back? Is it up to the secretary? And if the MEC is not doing the job, back to the minister.
I would like to support what Honorable Annelise was saying. You see, in the light of the witnesses we identified yesterday, it's going to be very important for regular reports, especially so that we like some of us believe that it might not even be working. You see, so that we see how, because one of the key things why we could not take a tougher stance is because of the financial consequences. Yeah, so if we get regular reports to monitor the situation, I'm talking us now as politicians, so that we can be able to see if this thing is working, so that we can adapt our approach and even look at whether there are gaps and weaknesses in the Act itself. But we can only do that. That's why I say regular reports from the Secretariat to the Portfolio Committee, especially for the first 1 to 2 years, 3 years, are going to be very important. We might not legislate it here, but I think that's going to be very, very important and fundamental.
I would like to hear from the state law advisors whether it won't be possible to put it under transitional arrangements. Because I think it is important enough because transitional arrangements falls away at some point in time. And that we word it to some extent that say, until the establishment of all 9 provincial secretariats, the secretary of police will report to the portfolio committee. And that report, we don't have to prescribe how it should be. On the progress made in the establishment of that. My concern is we're passing a piece of legislation that a lot of the success or failure of this legislation lies with politicians. And I don't think it would be fair for us to take a step back now after we've done that. Our responsibility can't stop there. And for that reason, if it's possible, I don't know whether it's possible. I'm not a legal person, but if it's possible, one sentence that just addressed that in the transitional arrangements.
Transitional arrangements? Honorable?
He was calling me honorable, not
you. Having all of that.
Chair, just the one thing, if you read earlier in the report, we've got to do quarterly reports to Parliament anyway. So instead of an additional report, we put in the transitional arrangements that the quarterly report must include the functions for the first 3 years of the operation of the secretariat, something like that, so that we don't have to do a separate report. So when we do our quarterly report, we do a specific section on the provinces.
No, that's
not for the first 3 years, just until the establishment of all 9. Thereafter, it's going to be part of your reports in any case in terms of your work, just for the first, until all of them are up and running.
I would like to it. Definitely attached to that. Otherwise, it's a lot of reports of them that are not even seen by members. So it's just papers coming, you know. Yeah. Okay. We can pass it.
The other matters relate to the transitional requirements. The civilian secretariat for police service in existence immediately before the commencement of this Act continues as the civilian secretariat for police service contemplated in Section 3.1. any provincial secretariat structure in existence at a provincial sphere of government immediately before the commencement of this Act continues subject to Section 13. Any person who immediately before the commencement of this Act served in the post of secretary or head of provincial department, as the case may be, must be regarded as having been appointed in terms of Section 6(1) or Section 15(1) and continues to serve in this capacity under the terms and conditions of service of his or her existing appointment for the remainder of the period of service in such an appointment. Subject to Section 1, any person who immediately before the commencement of this Act served in the post of the Secretariat must be regarded as having been appointed in terms of Section 7(4) and continues to serve in that capacity under the terms and conditions of service of his or her appointment for the remainder of the period of service in terms of such appointment. Any assessment, evaluation or project instituted by the Secretariat in terms of the So That's Complete Service Act, which was pending, continues as if this Act had not been passed. Decisions of the Secretariat in force immediately before the commencement of this Act remain in force until amended, replaced or rescinded by the Secretariat.
Say here is a young man or a young lady. He becomes a policeman, joined the police service at the age of 20. 5 years down the line, he or she resigns from the police service, goes and works as whatever and whatever, and after 15 years, after 15 years is about 35, or after 20 years is about, he was to come and work for the secretary or IPIT. Do we say that that person can, because he or she was on the police? You must understand the reason why we wanted to, that element of being close to the police, that element of protection. This person is for 20 years or 15 years is cut ties completely with the police. He or she has no ties with the police. Some of the people who were with him or her, majority of them have retired, or some of them have died. Are we saying this person, after such a period, I'm just thinking, I'm not saying we should, because I think it would be better if we have a period, you see. I'm just talking about someone who could join the police service very young, work for a short while in the police service, and then we say this person will never be part of the secretariat.
Clarify, it's only the secretary and the provincial head that clause applies to. It doesn't apply to all staff. It only applies to the secretary and the provincial head. So it doesn't mean they can't work in the secretariat. It just means they wouldn't be able to fulfill those positions. But it may be that we still need to look at it, but it only applies to those two.
Yeah, I actually think the Honourable George has got a point. I understand why we don't want somebody from police directly to go into one of those positions. But it's a realistic thing that he's raising. Let's say, for instance, you've got this guy who goes to the police at the age of 18. At the age of 23, he decides to leave, studies further, and he becomes actually a very good he's an expert, and you actually want to appoint that person. Now this Act is prohibiting you. If one can't have some sort of rider on that, whether it is within 15 years after, or if the a person with more than 10 years police service will not qualify, or whatever. I'm just asking. I mean, I think it's a valid point. You end up with a lot of researchers currently in the field were ex-police officers.
Yeah, look,
I understand why it was put in the first place. Is because someone who's worked in the SAPS will not be as impartial as someone who has never worked in the SAPS. And I don't know if a 5-year break suddenly makes you impartial, or a 10-year break, or a 15-year break, because my guess is a lot of your colleagues and friends are still your friends, and you're still having a lot of input from the SAP. So I would be hesitant to lift the moratorium on the top position. Can you imagine? It just doesn't sit well with me, the thought that someone who's been, I mean, as has been pointed out, it's not preventing anyone working there, but then what do you do? Do you say, okay, after 15 years, they no longer feel anything, any alignment, and will not side with SAP's decisions over impartial decision-making? I don't know that we can actually take that kind of a decision.
The Honourable Judge has not been a teacher for more than 15 years now. Can we say he is no longer, in fact, he is now impartial when it comes to education issues? Can we really say that? I'm just asking. Can we say that? Because I don't think we can. I don't believe so. You will always have that thing about the people you worked with, you once worked with, or your profession, or your whatever, irrespective of what you are and where you are. There are doctors who were once nurses. You will always know them. You know, they will definitely not be the same as doctors who just went to university and studied MBCHB from matric, and those that started by being nurses and then decided to go coaching, they will always be that. I'm not very sure. I don't believe that it can be a serious issue.
It's not an issue that I will die for either, but the fact of the matter is by making provision for some sort of a cooling off period. I mean, it's something that's talked about all over, and politicians, etc. I think there's a bit of a difference. What happens if this guy has left because he didn't like what's happening in SAPS? He's not necessarily positive about what happened. But the fact of the matter is, for me, it goes about the fact that if you do have some sort of cool off period, you're not forcing anybody to appoint that person. What we're doing is we're putting a limitation to say within whatever period of time such person cannot apply. But you're not forcing anybody to appoint that person, even if that person then applies. I'm just worried. Look, I as I say, I won't die for it. I won't even fight for it much longer because I'm too tired to fight for it much longer. But the fact of the matter is, I just think we must, maybe it's something we need to think about and then come back as well on this. And think, politicians think about it and come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, in the long term, one could envisage then a number of members who are ex-SAPS members, because that's not forbidden, plus the head, who's an ex-SAPS member, and then where is your independence gone? It is a possibility, which I'm putting on the table, so I'm agreeing with you, Chair. I think we would be very silly to lift that. Sorry, Maliki.
Well, Madam Chair, like I said, I was just posing the question, but I have seen people who left. For instance, there's a chap in our area who was an ex-policeman. He went to school and studied law. He went on, became an advocate, and dad is now practicing as a lawyer. I have not seen him. He meets sometimes police on that side, questioning them. I have not seen him showing signs of nostalgia that he now longs to be a policeman. No, so what I'm saying, but I agree with Annelies. It's not a matter which, honestly speaking, we should. It was just a question. You see, because also we must also look at, I think the especially the Leonard friends there. So we must look at the question of discrimination in this country. If one day you're not taken to court for unfair discrimination, if you don't want to employ me purely because I was an ex-policeman, you have no other, I qualify, I do everything. So I'm just saying, but let's not make a, let's leave it, and we might look at it again.
I think so. I think we must discuss it and come back to it again. Yes.
Can I just add a thing for people to consider when they're thinking about it and we come back to it? And that is that you're talking about, and it's not unique to the South African police, and it's why some people have put these things internationally into their legislation, and because the question of police culture is not something unique to South Africa, but it's something that exists around the world. And it's not easy always to break that police culture. And so I'm just asking people to consider that, because that was part of the motivation for not making it a period, but making it a blanket thing. So, yeah.
I've been in the police 2 years, but I've been 20 years in the academic world. Which culture is going to prevail? But as I say, Chair, my suggestion is let's consider it separately and then...
I think so. let's talk about it. I have my own experiences. It doesn't matter how much you train a nursing assistant, whether she becomes a sister, she will be a sister, but will still remain a nursing assistant in her thinking. It happens. Train a staff nurse first, and she works as a staff nurse in the ward. You train her to be a sister, she becomes a sister, she becomes a lecturer, but a staff nurse lecturer. I wouldn't say we should not talk about it, but...
I take that on board, because...
Once a journalist, always a journalist. Can't get it out of...
And I don't deny it for a moment, which is why I'm saying no.
So I think let's come back and discuss it, and our learned friends here will also assist us. He's raising the issue of discrimination based on this. If indeed there is any element in this of discrimination, I think you can also assist us. Say, I think I will agree with the culture. I mean. Even lawyers, I've seen them who were once police. They are not the same as lawyers who go straight to
the police.
There will always be that element of.
The police will remain a police.
Okay. okay. because they agree with that. That by being a policeman and you go to university, you study law and you come back, there will always be that culture. There will definitely not be the same as somebody who goes straight from matric to university and or studying by. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's development anyway. But there will always be that, I don't know. I wanted to gossip there. I mean, that is all for today. We have given you some homework. And we will be meeting on Tuesday. It seems like we've moved very quickly. We will be meeting on Tuesday. And we will start as we have done today. And I'm going to request the two gentlemen sitting next to me here to... we will start with the homework and then go through the bill again. And therefore, we will request you to assist us to have this a document so that we can start from where we started today and so on and so forth. And I can imagine if we do our work thoroughly on Wednesday, we might even adopt this bill on Wednesday next week. Because we are meeting so that we are done with these two bills. And that is that. Thank you very much for being here. This work on Tuesday and something cleaner like this. And then, of course, we'll go through the bill again and see if there are major things that need to be changed. I don't know whether you have something which you wanted to introduce here, which is not in the bill. We can, okay.
It was just one of the things that I think has arisen as an issue for us, is that we may want to consider, and I would ask if it's possible for us to bring that as a possible recommendation when we meet. And it's just a question of an obligation on SAPS to, if we request information, because sometimes we do have a problem with SAPS, and it's not necessarily always with the National Commission himself. It's SAPS people who want to be destructive when we request information from them, and they say, no, first we've got to go to the National Commissioner, which means we then got to phone the National Commissioner. So I don't know if we don't want to, and I would ask if it's possible for us to look at phrasing a court clause. We had an incident just recently where that happened, and in actual fact, when we spoke to the National Commissioner, he knew nothing about such an instruction. But it means you have to go through him, and I think it can be used by SAPS members to be obstructive if you're requiring information on for example, you want to look at whether they've arrested a person in this case, or whether they've done this, or whether they've done that, and their response is the report must go to the National Commissioner first. It becomes a delaying tactic to you getting that information. So if it's possible for us to look at phrasing something before the next committee meets.
Yeah, say something. Bring it to the Portfolio Committee on Tuesday. We'll look at it and agree or disagree. It will be our thing. Okay. Thank you very much. And the meeting is adjourned.
Huh?